Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. My name is Lawrence Chapman, and I'm the Senior Copywriter here at Product Marketing Alliance. In this episode, I'm thrilled to be joined by Robbie Ware, Product Marketing Consultant at TransUnion. Robbie is a product marketing professional with experience of leading and executing global go-to-market strategies, working with key stakeholders across both the internal matrix and partner organizations, including sales and customer success, to gather customer insights, messaging feedback, and insights into levels of effectiveness. Formerly a marketing manager, Robbie's now applying his trade in the world of product marketing, and to kickstart our discussion, he gave me an insight into his history as a PMM. Before we begin, please note that the views expressed by Robbie in this episode are his own and don't reflect those of TransUnion.
For sure. So before I was a product marketer, I really had a role in traditional marketing. And Lawrence, just to give you some background, I am 26. So this is really only my second job out of university. So when I did graduate, some of my experiences from university kind of drove me towards a traditional marketing role. So I was a digital marketing specialist in my first job, really focusing on traditional digital marketing, you know, email, content, copy. But the company I worked for had a SaaS product where I was able to kind of get a feel for how a product manager merges, you know, the product's strategic aspect and then the last mile delivery of marketing together to really deliver a great experience. So in that role, I was able to kind of merge what I was interested in with what I was really good at. And that kind of drove me towards learning a little bit more about product marketing. And actually, before I even got my first job out of school, I was invited to interview at Google for their assistant product marketing management. They have a program. And at that point in time, I really had no understanding of what product marketing was. I was just excited that, you know, Google had invited me to come out and apply. And one of the really interesting pieces about that interview was they had me do a writing prompt. And essentially they said, you know, if you had to design a robot that could do all kinds of household works, you know, can you write a press release for this theoretical robot that would be launched in the market? And I was like, I have no idea what product marketing is, but this sounds really cool. And that kind of, you know, lit that fire underneath me to know that down the road, product marketing was something I'd be interested in. And then my first role out of school, even though I didn't get the Google job, kind of, you know, solidified that I love marketing. I love the creative aspect, but I want to take a step back and do more of the strategy work. So in that first role, I got to kind of interact with all different types of areas of the business, operations, sales, the C-suite and executive level, some of the technical components when it comes to product build of a SaaS product. Because it was a small company, I was very blessed in the opportunity to get to merge all of my learnings together and understand that while I did love marketing, I wanted to take it a step further and be more strategic about it.
Yeah, that sounds great. So it sounds almost like the strategy side of product marketing was a massive draw for you. So then, I don't know whether or not I've missed anything in amongst that, but was there anything else that like necessarily you could pinpoint that attracted you to a career as a product marketer over, say, like another area elsewhere or more conventional marketing?
So I think creating like great experiences in the marketing I was doing for our consumers and delivering the product digitally in a way that kind of generated a visceral reaction from our customers, right? Like, I got to work on some of the UI components of the SaaS product, and I was just in traditional marketing. I wasn't in product at that point. And I was like, wow, this is really exciting because I'm creating an end user experience from my own perspective where I know that, you know, simplification of processes, ease of use, you know, kind of digital experiences that get you excited about a business product was something that really drew me to learning more about how I could get involved in the product management role. You know, what does the roadmap look like? How are we contributing to solving, you know, core business issues for our users and then delivering them in a way that's like really exciting? And when it kind of comes to B2B marketing, I mean, as you know, it's not like the sexiest area of product marketing, right? It's like long sales cycles. You're working on products that are not tangible. You don't get to hold and feel them. So you really got to deliver on the positioning and messaging in a way that makes people understand the product as they would if they were holding, you know, a traditional B2C product. So I kind of liked the challenge when it came to delivering a B2B product in a way that gets people excited.
That sounds great. And in terms of like some of your learnings, challenges, and successes since transitioning into product marketing, and I mean, obviously, there's quite a few like people who are tending to follow like a route into the product marketing sector at the minute, and each of whom have like, you know, different experiences. But as I say, just keen to find out, you know, what your like challenges and successes have been since, you know, starting your own product marketing journey.
Yeah, just speaking from the perspective of someone who wanted to move from traditional marketing to product marketing, and if that's something that, you know, some of your listeners were interested in, I think the biggest learning I had was before I even landed my role as a product marketer, I had to kind of change how I was approaching the interview process, because coming from a traditional marketing role, you know, you have this body of work you're able to show really easily in a PowerPoint and say, I've done this, this, and this. You can go to this link, you can see it. And with product marketing, you know, that's great to be able to show that kind of body of work in the last mile delivery of the content, but what's happening in the background? What are the skills you're bringing to the table that are going to say, I can attribute this to the long-term organizational roadmap? We're driving revenue in this regard when it comes to the actual function you're doing as a product marketer. And if, you know, sometimes it's not always driving revenue is the end goal. Sometimes you're trying to serve a critical business issue that isn't revenue related. Maybe you're trying to lessen the workload on the users. You're trying to take away from, you know, manual processes that business is having issues with and kind of reduce some workload. So it's not directly attributed to revenue. So I think when I was kind of going through the interview process, I learned through a series of failed interviews for product marketing jobs that I can't just show up and say, hey, I generated, you know, X amount of leads through a landing page. I had to kind of speak to how I was tying my marketing efforts back to overall company revenue. You know, what's the bigger picture? And I was able to actually, I had a great experience with an executive at a FANG company here in the US who are located in Silicon Valley. And I was able to kind of interface with this executive, and they were kind enough to give a review of my resume. And they said, you know, you really need to start including the strategic details about how within your resume, what are these bullet points underneath your job description driving to? What would an executive at a large company care about? And that was another piece. I was moving from a really small company of about 300 to applying to companies that, you know, were 5, 10, 15,000 people deep. So it's kind of a perspective shift from easily being able to maneuver within a smaller company and kind of own all these different hats to, okay, you're applying for a role that's much more regimented, and you're doing something that's a lot less content driven and much more, you know, how do you think analytically? How do you think strategically? And then how do you showcase that within your interview skills? So that was like kind of the first experience I had where I was like, okay, now I'm starting to understand what product marketing is, what the differences is from traditional marketing. And when I was happy enough to land my current role as a product marketer, some of the successes and challenges came really right within the first 3 months. And the first being, you got to really know your product. So when you're in a traditional marketing role, it's delivering the content at the end, and you have a good understanding of the product, but you're not seeing all the backend work when it comes to developing personas, developing the messaging, the positioning within the market, understanding the competitive landscape, looking at what other businesses are doing to help drive your differentiation in the market. So I would suggest that if you do land a product marketing role and you're coming from more of a traditional marketing role or a different role, really spend that first piece of time when you sign on understanding the product to its core. And to that point, tangentially, definitely meet with sales, because sales is going to be the one, the sales teams are going to be the one to be able to tell you everything that the customers love about the product, but they hate about the product. And more importantly, what sales likes and doesn't like about working with the product, right? Because sales is also an audience as a product marketer that you help to serve. You're constantly enabling them to tell your story, and you need to make sure that nothing's getting lost in translation between the product team, between the marketing team, and then between when sales is going out. So I would say my biggest learning within, you know, the first year has been get to know the product, understand who your key stakeholders are, and continue to educate yourself internally. I'm someone who's a big advocate for, even if the meeting I'm in isn't, I'm not someone who's a direct contributor, the knowledge I'm going to pull from it can help kind of spark those ideas down the line where it's like, oh, I heard this in the product management meeting, or I heard this in the data science meeting. How can I take those learnings and apply them to my current role and kind of bolster, my product knowledge to help serve some of these other capacities and functions that I deliver on that aren't directly related to those other teams. Some of the challenges I've had are just kind of maneuvering within larger organizations. So coming from a small organization, I was kind of able to be the subject matter expert when it came to product or when it came to marketing, excuse me, in those meetings. And then I moved to a larger, I'm a small fish in a big pond now. I'm not a shark in a puddle anymore. And it's constantly learning. It's constantly asking questions, being curious, but then having your own opinion and bringing that to the table with everything you've learned. And then learning how to navigate between teams and kind of giving to get. So like if you do make that transition to a bigger organization, you're constantly educating people on what a product marketer does, how you can help them meet their end goals, depending on what their role is, and then how they can kind of work synergistically with you to elevate the team around you. So I think that's one of the challenges, and that's a constant challenge as a product marketer. People think, oh, you're in product, or oh, you're in marketing. And it's like, no, I'm really the connective tissue between sales, operations, product, and marketing. So it's just constant education, and it's an uphill battle that I think all product marketers are fighting on a daily basis. But it's so critical. So those are just kind of some of the things that stood out to me. Being very organized is something that I would highly suggest, constantly reprioritizing, making sure that you're checking that what you're doing on a day-to-day basis might seem like tactical work, but how is that mapping out to the long-term organizational goals? How is that mapping out to your team goals? Are they aligned? And in my role, I'm lucky enough to work with some of our business partners too, which is very interesting because we don't bring our traditional product to market. Because we have these partnerships, they help augment our product. They give us a different value prop than what a traditional product marketing team at my company would deliver on. So I'm kind of getting to the point where, okay, here's how I align with the organization. Here's how I align with the product marketing team. And then here's how I align with our partners. And when all of that is harmonious, that's when we get to see a lot of really interesting successes because everyone is on the same page, because we're all driving towards a common goal, but we're bringing in different perspectives.
That sounds great. I love that expression, the whole shark in a puddle thing. Just like conjured up like this mad image in my head.
And that's really what it was. And it's great to be, the most knowledgeable person in the room. But when I kind of took a step back before I decided to switch roles, and I was like, do I want to be 25 and the smartest person in the room when it comes to my role? Does that allow me to grow as a professional? And ultimately, that just wasn't right for me. I loved doing it. It was something I felt good doing because people looked up to me and they kind of took my answer for what it was worth. But now I'm in a place where I'm constantly being challenged in such a good way by these other extremely intelligent people. So I'd recommend if you're in a smaller role or you're in a different role outside of product marketing and you feel like you've hit your ceiling, start to push yourself outside of the bounds. Go try something new. Go to a company that operates in a different industry. Go work at a company that brings a certain level of expertise that you're interested in, because that's really going to push you past your limits. It's going to make you uncomfortable, but like in the best way possible. So that's my shark in a puddle comment. I much enjoy being a goldfish in the ocean right now, Lawrence, for sure.
No, to be fair though, it's people do say that you need to continually develop your product marketing skills. It never kind of stands still. But looking at some of the skills that were transferable from when you came from your marketing background, which skills and competencies did you take from your previous roles to pave way for almost like a seamless transition into your product marketing career?
Seamless might be too generous of a word, because I think generally speaking, just as a professional, no transition is going to be seamless, but definitely to your point, there are things you can carry over from your previous role that will set you up for success. And I'll kind of talk about them in the two ways I see it, that being soft skills and hard technical skills, really, for lack of a better term, which isn't a new concept, but that's kind of just how I think about it when it comes to product marketing. If you're coming from a traditional marketing background, some of those technical skills may not be relevant anymore. my focus and my passion when I was in traditional marketing was web design and content creation, and, you know, lead funnel generation and some of like a lot of more of the analytical stuff. And while I get to carry over that analytical perspective, I'm not the one building landing pages. I'm not the one choosing the color scheme for a new, you know, microsite design. So take some of the learnings from your technical skills and how to work within programs and bring them to your product marketing role. Just know that you probably won't be doing those in your everyday role unless maybe you're part of a smaller company. And again, speaking from the perspective of a larger company, you're likely going to be working with teams who have subject matter experts who are going to help you execute. So I'd say from like a hard technical skill point, understanding how these other teams that you're going to be working with, like working with the traditional lead gen marketing team, understanding how they work and their roles and some of the nuances is super helpful, even though you might not be using those skills. From a soft skill standpoint, I'd say that the biggest thing you can do in a product marketing role is be really good at being resourceful. Searching essentially every corner of the room, theoretically, to find the answer you're looking for before going out and asking for someone's help. And it's great to ask people for their help, right? But again, giving to get. So coming with something to provide that person that's going to help them reach their goals and being resourceful in your own role is really going to help you kind of scale your effectiveness within the organization. So if you don't know something, you know, don't just turn around and tap someone else on the shoulder. There are great resources around you, but how can you leverage all the resources that you have at your fingertips and within your locus of control to kind of be resourceful and bring things to the table? And then from there, that's when you can rely on others to kind of help you iterate on it. You can get feedback on what you're doing, but you're not asking them to do the foundational work for you. And I think people recognize that when you're at companies, they understand that you did the deep dive hard work. And now you're coming to them for their, you know, professional opinion and their nuance. Another soft skill I'd say that's really important is just being strategic, but at the same time being agile. So kind of being able to zoom in and zoom out on a daily basis. Okay, here's what I need to do that needs to get done today. That's a day-to-day task. It's heads down work. But then at the same time, I need to spend my afternoon looking at, you know, the wider product marketing plan for the next 1 to 2 to 3 years and how I'm going to contribute to that. So kind of having the mental mindset to be able to zoom in, zoom out. But at the same time, if priorities shift, right? Like if the revenue targets have suddenly shifted and you've learned about this, or maybe something got stalled that's kind of out of your control, then you need to be able to say, okay, yep, I have these other priorities waiting in the wings. I can go to those and continue to work in parallel while some of these blockers get addressed. So I think being resourceful, being strategic and agile, and then, like I said, being able to reprioritize on a daily basis is very important.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks so much. But, you know, looking specifically at your role now, like what are the nuances of working with partners and how does this differ from a conventional product marketing role?
Yeah, and that's something I'm learning on a daily basis too. So I've been in my role for just over a year now. And when I came into, you know, this new organization as a product marketer, like I said, I had to first understand my product. And then there's another layer that working with partners adds on to that. So you need to have a really good understanding of your product, because when you work with partnerships, the go-to-market is different because you're delivering together, right? And there's some differentiation that you're bringing to market because you have this partner that does something that your company doesn't do. You know, maybe they have expertise in one area. Maybe they have a really good delivery channel. Maybe it's on the professional services side where they have the people, you have the technology, and you need to understand, well, what's the end user or clients going to get out of this that they wouldn't get from our product alone or from our partner alone? And when you kind of hone in on that and getting feedback from customers who work with you and your partner and kind of scaling the good things and kind of trying to fix for some of the challenges that they have with your partnership product can really help you deliver a product that you couldn't as the sole organization. So when it comes to product delivery, there's a lot of really cool things you can do in product marketing because it's not just the traditional product team working on it. You're understanding what your product is, you're understanding what your partner brings and their value, and then you're going forth together with something almost new, right? Stepping back from like the product delivery methods and some of the things I just spoke to, I think that there are some really interesting nuances when it comes to working with partnership teams, because they're not in your organization. They aren't directly your colleagues. So working with partners is kind of a game of influence. You need to understand what you're bringing to the table and how that's going to help them. Again, like I said, internally, have that other group or person or team meet their goals by what you're bringing to the table. So there are some things that our partners bring to us and they say, hey, would you like to do this? And there's some things we bring to our partners and say, you know, does this make sense when it comes to our product roadmap and how we're solving customer issues? And then kind of having that synergy between understanding who's good at what, how one organization operates versus another. Say if you're a larger organization and your partner's a smaller one, your smaller partner might be more agile in standing up marketing campaigns, right? They might be able to go to market faster from that regard. So what you can do is provide some of that industry knowledge that your larger organization has, right? Some of those internal resources that you can bring to the table and deliver to your partner, who can then take it that last mile and execute much, much more quickly, but you're still going to market together. So it's like understanding your strengths and weaknesses as well as your partners, and then kind of finding the sweet spot between all of that.
And you touched upon, like, very, very briefly, go-to-market, but we're going to just dive into it in a little bit more detail. So you have, like, you know, a little bit of experience in go-to-market strategy, but in your opinion, what are the ingredients for, like, a successful go-to-market campaign?
Planning. Planning is the foundation. Understanding your timeline, understanding how this fits within the organization's wider goals, because if it doesn't, or if you're straying down a path that doesn't completely align with the direction your organization, you know, organizational leadership is giving you, you're going to end up in a dead end. You're going to end up not delivering correctly. You're going to end up with a product that doesn't fit the market need. So really taking a step back, and whether that's 12 months before launch, whether it's 18 months before launch, whether it's 2 years, because when it comes to B2B, the sales cycles are so much longer. So it becomes that much more important that the product you're delivering has the proper strategy and planning and foundation for which to be delivered upon. So first of all, when it comes to planning, is understanding your key stakeholders, who needs to be involved. And at different companies, that's going to mean different things, especially when it comes to the market need you're serving too. So ideally, at this point, you've identified that there's a market need. It aligns with your organizational goals. Next step really is to find out who your key stakeholders are and how they can help you deliver. And then from there, you can kind of start to build out the positioning and messaging, the differentiation. But before doing any actual go-to-market, think about how you're going to enable your sales teams, you know, educating internally so that they can go out and sell when it actually hits the market, when it hits the newswire, is so critical. Because if you're getting reactive feedback from your sales team saying, I didn't know we launched this, I had no idea this was out there, if they come back and say, what does this product do? You have massively misstepped when it came to your strategy and planning. So I think spending a lot more time, again, I'm kind of speaking from coming from a traditional marketing role, right, where it's just execute, 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 maybe some iteration here and there. Spending so much more time on the back end, in the background, talking to people, being that connective tissue between those key stakeholders is so much more important than that last piece, which is the actual go-to-market. You know, the actual go-to-market should be so easy in my mind relative to everything in the back end, because you've done the proper strategy and planning. All the messaging is built out. Now it's just, how do we deliver it to the right audiences at the right times in the right areas, right? So just whatever that looks like in your organization, focusing on understanding all of the key deliverables on the back end before building anything is probably the most important go-to-market component.
Okay. And in terms of, like, when the product is going to market, what can product marketers do to set themselves apart from the competition and establish the product as, like, what's that, the MVP in its respective field?
Yeah, I think what I've learned in my first year really is that if you're not going forth with your differentiation, your value proposition that sets you apart from your competition, you're going to miss. Like, there's going to be no reception because it's going to be a lot of noise. You need something that's really going to resonate with that end business user, you know, from a B2B standpoint, that end user that's going to solve a challenge or a future challenge. You know, how is the market trending? And how are you going to deliver on that for that end user? So from a product marketing standpoint, differentiating yourself from your competition also requires that you have an understanding of where your competition is at. And when you're a larger company, that's sometimes a lot easier than when you're a smaller company, because there's analysts who have done the reports. You see everything else your competitors do, but I could imagine if you're a product marketer in a smaller company, you might not have that line of sight into your competitors. You know, there might be disruptors coming up at the same time you are, and you just don't even have the visibility into it. So I would say really focusing on differentiation, and then an extension of that is your messaging. So paring it down to those two or three really core components that your product is going to deliver to that end user that solves their business needs, that makes their life easier, that drives revenue for their company or operational efficiency. That is what you need to execute on as a product marketer. That is how you set yourself apart. And that's going to set you up for a successful product launch. And down the line, as long as your product delivery is on point, and obviously as a product marketer, you don't have a ton of say in that. You know, you're informed of it. You have an understanding of how it works. But making sure that the product delivery matches what you're promising to the market is going to make retention a whole lot easier when it comes to keeping clients happy.
Okay, that sounds great. And in terms of like actually getting the best collaborative mindset across the board, we've kind of touched upon it very briefly with getting sales on board. And obviously that's super important. But in your experience, what's the most effective way to secure the support of key stakeholders when you're planning and executing a go-to-market plan?
Yeah, I would say it probably starts with education in my experience. So if you're coming to a key stakeholder, and I've done this myself, and saying, here's what I want to do, and you're not giving them any value from their perspective, you're just not going to get the buy-in. You're not going to get the buy-in you need. They're going to say, oh, yeah, okay, great. I don't understand how this serves me, how it serves my team, how it's driving towards our goals. So, and I heard one of your other guests who said it so well, like selling internally and educating internally is just as important as the external piece too, because there has to be alignment on the back end. Aside from understanding who your key stakeholders are, influencing them by showing them what product marketing brings to the table in terms of a strength and how it kind of supplements any kind of weaknesses they have. So if you're engaging with a key stakeholder who may not have a good understanding of the competitive landscape, that's something you can bring as a product marketer to help them maybe do their job a little bit better. Their piece of the puzzle fits a little bit better because of what you brought to the table, because you've done that competitive research, just as an example. So giving to get has been a really core lesson I've learned in the first year. And sometimes it's not that easy to understand what you can even bring to the table sometimes. Sometimes you have to ask questions before you come back and ask for buy-in, right? You need to understand maybe what some of those goals are. Like if this is their first time engaging a key stakeholder, or maybe you got a name and someone said, this person needs to be involved in the product launch. Well, you can't just go to them and give them an excess of information. You need to meet with them first, establish somewhat of a relationship, understand their role, their day-to-day, their teams. So really getting tight with your key stakeholders, even maybe before delivering or delivering the ask, is very important.
And in terms of a big part of this podcast is kind of like gathering just like, you know, I'm sure you'll know yourself. You've listened to a couple of episodes, but you're just gathering as much intel, as much advice that product marketers can transfer into their own practice. So, and with this in mind, like, what's your golden piece of advice for product marketers who may be like launching their products on a global scale? And how do these launches differ from like more domestic and low key campaigns?
I don't think there's a silver bullet for advice. I would say, probably the thing that I wish I knew, maybe is a better way to think about it before doing a global launch, was understand that you can provide guidance from a global product marketing perspective, but you're really going to rely on your regional teams to execute how you expect them to. So you can give them all the guidance in the world, but you need to understand that they know their market much better than you do. I can sit here in the US and tell our Asia Pacific team exactly how we want to do something from the perspective of the global team, but then they might say, this doesn't work in our market, right? So, and really those things should be taken in account before you even go to market. But really understanding that, provide them a flexible framework for how to go to market within their region, you know, incorporating all the nuances of their market, incorporating the macro factors that affect their region. And then coming back and saying, okay, at this point in the go-to-market process, how did we do? You know, what's the feedback loop from that team? Are we kind of missing the mark from a global perspective? Because you need to remain aligned from a global perspective. You can't just let teams go and do their own thing necessarily. There needs to be a common thread. But you need to also realize that you need to be flexible because you just don't have that regional expertise. You don't live in that country or region. So you need to be really receptive to how they're going to market while making sure that it's in alignment with the global business plan.
I'd say that's a pretty decent piece of advice personally. It's been a really great chat. I've really enjoyed welcoming you to the show. Just to kind of wrap things up, really, if you could hop in a time machine, theoretically, if
would love to,
Google time machine. Say, if you could hop in a time machine and go way back to the start of your product marketing journey, and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be?
I would say study everything, read through all the materials twice, and understand that if at that point it doesn't make sense, sometime down the line in the future, it might be a critical component. So work with your team when you sign on for that first product marketing job. Work with your team to understand the foundational knowledge of your organization, to understand the foundational responsibilities you have in your role, because across organizations, across teams, even within one organization, product marketers might be doing vastly different roles and responsibilities. So understand what are you being asked to deliver on? Is it like that more tactical go-to-market stuff? Is it more of the strategic stuff? Are you working with partners? Are you working with a B2C product? Understanding what you're being asked to do is so critical, because then all of the information you're intaking from the market, from your competitors, from your organization, from other teams is going to help you better execute on what you're being asked to do in one way or another. So read everything twice, become very familiar with the organizational goals, with the near-term outlook, with the long-term outlook, and then understanding, which is a vastly tough task because sometimes it feels ambiguous, but understanding how you fit in to the wider context of your organization and maybe even within your team is very key because that's how you can optimize how you're working, how you're delivering. Maybe you don't need to spend as much time doing one thing because you know that your counterpart within the organization can help you out there. So just having a really good understanding of your role before you go and try to do a lot of things. And kind of my experience and my advice as an aged 26-year-old is, be ready to listen. Don't come in too hot. You know, you need to step up and give your perspective for sure. And when you're new in a role, a lot of times you'll hear, oh, this is great. You can come in and poke holes. You'll have this perspective where, you know, we don't always think about it because we're deep in the day-to-day. You're new. You can poke holes. And that's kind of intimidating because you don't know everything. So just being able to ask questions, being comfortable with your team and understanding that you might not know everything yet, but you're being curious, you're making connections, and you're just fully understanding what you're being asked to do is probably the one piece of advice I'd give my former self.
That's great. Robbie, thank you so much for joining me, and all the very best for the rest of 2023.
Thanks, Lawrence, you as well.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Product Marketing Insider podcast. Remember, we have an extensive back catalogue of episodes waiting to be explored, as well as dedicated series focusing on core product marketing areas such as storytelling, go-to-market, leadership, sales enablement, competitive intelligence, and much more. For the full selection, head to www.productmarketingalliance.com/podcasts.